Welcome back to Elevated Intellectuals, a podcast where a group of young adults get drunk or high and talk about society and what's on their mind. Welcome back and enjoy the show.
Don't mind, I'm gonna wash my shot glasses.
That's fine.
Yeah, we're all there's nothing else to drink. So.
Yeah.
What am I gonna do? Because... Lick the inside?
I mean, because.
Well, there's still a thing in Mars first, but I gotta.
That's dance.
Quiet. I don't know. I've been, well, I wouldn't say lucky. I've been fortunate enough to understand the grind to work and doing. It's...
Yeah, because you don't. Because your parents don't give you anything.
I've grown up in a fortunate family. Yes, they've had money. Nothing has been hard for me. No, I have not been spoiled with anything. I've always had to get stuff myself. Definitely. And I think that's where that part of me comes in, is from the beginning I understood that if I want something, I have to work for it. And yes, not going to go into amounts, but I've made a generous amount of money doing what I like, but it's the grind and it's doing what you truly believe in that pays off. And I've seen that. And I mean, it's not even the greed. I mean, yeah, get me wrong, money's nice, but it also causes a lot more issues than
money causes a lot of problems. Definitely does. With the more money you have, the more things that you have to worry about. You fuck up on one thing, you're done for. All that money that you have is fucking out of there.
And that's, I mean, it's just one of the smarter things to do in the first place if you have a decent amount of money, is you invest. Now, granted, investing is always
risky.
Yeah, it's
risky.
A roller coaster.
There's always a fact.
There's always, yes, there's fact. Always that percentage of a chance that you could lose it all. Mm-hmm. But it's better knowing that you have an outcome that could be good.
You have a chance to get what you want.
Yeah, it gives you profits. It gives you that sense of, okay, I smartly invested. I've generated this amount of much money with my amount of work. And if you are to lose, say, that lump sum of money in investments or whatever, it gives you a valuable lesson in life. You're like, okay, and I'm going to do that. I know what not to invest in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like everything that happens is a character builder, or it teaches you something in life.
Exactly. We're only 17 or 18 years old.
Right, yeah.
If you fuck up now, you have about 80 years. It's 60 to 80 years to fucking fix it.
We're just at the start of our lives.
People now, during these, like, these teens and 20s, are just getting what they want instead of just, like, going with what they need.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, you know what? Like, maybe, like, you know what? I want to go out and eat every fucking day.
You know what?
Instead of just, oh, you know what? I need to get some ramen. I need to get some fucking bread.
It's like
some sandwich meat.
Going to the wants and less the needs. It's not, I need to go to school anymore. It's, I want to go to school now. I want to further my education, or I want to get a job.
I want to learn this thing.
You know, so I want to serve my country. It's that we're in that period of we can finally find what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like, this is our prime right here. Like our 18,
that's what that prime is.
22, 24.
That prime means that you're finally figuring out
we can finally figure out
who
the
you
value
want
with what
person.
You have.
We're at a chance where we can find our true beliefs, our true values,
you know,
and what we can do for the rest of our life, and what mark we can make on the world.
And I'm glad that we as a group sitting at this table can understand that, but I feel like there's a lot of societal pressures. There's a lot of societal pressures, especially on, like, social media and stuff, that, like, say you're born into a family that runs farms. Like, you're gonna be doing that for the rest of your life. That shouldn't be an idea that is, yeah, because, I mean, a public education, don't get me wrong, college is a monopoly and you have to pay a shit ton for money, but it gets you somewhere in life. And people always think, that they're stuck on this path when truly they have this open door.
Well, then enough hard work, you can go anywhere you want.
There's this guy, okay, so I don't know if you know who he is, Gary Vee.
I don't know.
Gary Vee, he's an entrepreneur. Came from literally shit. Literally
is this
shit.
The Ferrari guy with the books on YouTube?
No, that's
Ty Zonday, right?
Yeah.
No, this Ty.
This guy's Ty Lopez. Okay, so this is the one that literally gets to me. He goes, motherfucker.
Sorry.
I'm not breathing until that shit gets over. Okay, good. My bad.
No, but
this quote gets to me every time. He's like, whatever you're looking for in this world is a piece of cake. You know, his exact words. So, is a piece of cake. You're looking for bad right now? It's a piece of cake. You're looking for good right now? It's a piece of cake. I'm just asking what the fuck you're looking for. Gets to me every time. Because I'm just like, yeah, what the fuck am I looking for? What am I gonna do? What is my purpose in this world? How am I gonna put my name and my character and the person that I am, how am I gonna make a difference in the world?
How are you gonna put a legacy?
How am I gonna build a legacy?
How are you gonna give other people memories?
Exactly. How am I gonna make an impact on the world and have memories on the world without fucking everything up?
You know what I'm gonna say? I'm gonna say that you're gonna affect others in a positive way. You're gonna protect others in a way that makes them feel good about themselves. And make them see that there is still light in the world.
Like for me, from a young age, I was a kid that I was the boy that wanted to be the firefighter. I had the little firefighter costume and everything. And that idea of serving something greater than myself, like the idea of serving my country or serving
the
people of my society as like a first responder, that idea has never gone away from me. So I feel like my destiny
to protect
not necessarily to protect, is to make my community a better place. Whether or not I'm making my community the world, or my actual community that I live in.
Let him finish.
So I'm not sure if but that idea of servitude has never gone away from me. So what are we finishing?
Oh, he was gonna say
something. Oh no, I just had a thought about leaving a legacy. I tried out for drum major at the end of last year because I wanted to make an impression on the band. I wanted to create memories, not just for me, but for other people. My 3 years before senior year in band, I thought, wow, being drum major was so cool. Like, everyone looks at you, everyone looks up to you, like, you're an icon. I've always had nothing but good experiences interacting with my drum majors, and I thought, I wanted to be that. So I tried out. I didn't think I was gonna get it, but I looked on that paper to try the paper to see who got it, and I was there. And I was so happy that I got the chance to make the impression on my band, my family. They were my family. That was the one club that I was so excited to be in. And even in like my darkest points, like I was always happy to be in band room or like out on the field doing stuff. And so that first semester I got to be the drum major, and it was cool. Was I perfect? No. There was a day where Mr. Wu was out and I had to conduct the band. It's easy, right? I did it all semester, right? It's easy. We're doing concert band music. I wasn't too familiar with conducting it because Rude would take care of it. I was just a TA at that point. But I messed it up. Like, I don't know what it was. I just felt like I couldn't stand in front of these people that I spent a few months like interacting with. And I just had to step down. I had to go like sit in the music closet. Luckily Joel was there for me. We were practicing music for our period. But I don't know where I was going with that. That was just kind of a tangent. But the thing is that I wanted to make an impression on the band, and good or bad, I was able to make that impression, and at the end of the year, I got the John P. Sousa Award, the highest award that you can get for a high school marching band. And that, like, fulfilled my dream. Like, that I got to make an impression on the band so much that my name is now on a plaque in the band room. And really, that's all I ever wanted as, like, a human being. I just wanted to leave my legacy somewhere.
You wanted recognition.
I wanted the recognition. Not to be, not just, like, to be a high and mighty, like, oh, look at me. But, like, to say...
That self-satisfaction.
That yeah, I was there, yeah. And that I was able to make memories with those people. And that
knowing that you're, like, able to have an impact on people. Mm-hmm. I think that's, like... gonna go down this road. Raditz.
Oh my god.
That was my biggest thing, is like, me, I have a strong passion for computers, computer science, and all that. So, I recommend, first, it was the game course. Mm-hmm. He brings that in. Didn't know what to do, so I kinda helped him.
Yeah.
Top class, basically.
Yeah, I was in that class for 55 minutes. No, 45 minutes, wasn't it?
It's not always 55.
Like a
game design?
It was a regular game.
Yeah.
No, you know what? No, it was 45.
Well, no,
because
it was a Monday,
early
so it would have been 45. I was in intro to video game design for 45 minutes.
Yeah, we're on 45.
I
for
said,
a full fucking
fuck
semester.
That.
Fuck that.
Anyways, I wanted to bring that aspect of computers or whatever to high school and to other people who I know would like it.
Huh?
12:30. Oh,
no, 12:20.
Yeah, we're not being that bad.
No, we're not.
Gonna take this out. Well, the AC back there is kind of loud.
It's louder than us, yeah. He's probably asleep
around the next
10
minutes. When we finish talking, he kicks us out. Because,
yeah.
I mean, we're having a good conversation.
Yeah, conversation will be done the next 10 or 20
minutes. We'll just see where it goes. Okay. When it ends, that's when. Anyway, rather.
But yeah, it's a sense of open-mindedness that I wanted to bring what I like to other people and, like, have that opportunity for people to see, kind of like you trying to leave your legacy or trying to leave that mark on people. Mm-hmm. And man, I had the same. So anyways, we go into the whole game design thing. Sure, that shoots off or whatever, and that gets him more interested in game design too. And then computer science rolls around. Although it wasn't the course I thought it was going to be, I wanted that to be brought up too. I kind of planted that seed and it was mine. Whatever. So we go through that. We've all experienced intro to computer science. Or no, computer science principles.
And that was my first daddy writing experience.
Oh my god. So yeah, it's just that whole aspect that, okay, yeah, I hate the hell out of this because this isn't the course I want, but I still sat back there. Mm-hmm. Although I may have given him some shit. I still sat back there.
We all took the course.
Yeah, we all sat there. We did what we wanted, and I helped him through teaching the course. Although the course didn't relate much to the AP test.
Not really. No.
One more thing. I feel like even though we didn't like the course, and even though I said I was going to quit at the end of the semester, at the end of the first semester, I stayed in it.
Right.
And I got moments like that. Like, yeah. Even though I hated the class, I also loved the class.
It's that open-mindedness, that experience or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then coming down to my final straw was the video game club.
Mm-hmm.
It's so popular and everyone was doing it or whatever, so I'm like, hey, I'm going to start this club up. The first year I was president or whatever, and I wanted to implement all these things, and we had clear funding from Vikstrom or whatever. Mr. Rad thought...
Junior or senior?
This was junior year.
Junior, okay.
And then Mr. Rad was like, oh yeah, go along with it, he'll be the club founder or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to keep on pushing all these things, and he kept on, oh no, we can't do that right now, we're not going to do that right now. So we'd just sit in there, we would BS for the first 10 minutes, and then everybody would go do their own thing. I was like, that's not what we're here for, we're here to play organized games on the computer.
Team, and, you know, do some stuff.
Right.
Sound great.
And then, okay, so I saw the club going nowhere. Even after I pushed and pushed and pushed, I thought Radis was just never going to let anything through. Summer goes by, I come back. Radis is starting a game club that I had already started. And then I was like, okay, so we might go a different direction with this. Everything that he implemented with Vikstrom, I was the one who wrote out that plan. And if you go by the sequence of what he did, I have a Google document in my drive that names every single one of those things that was shared with him. So that fact that he went behind what I think is my back, mm-hmm. and implemented those things under his, like he did it all, like he had no control. I don't know, it's just that feeling of greed, like I want the recognition, basically. I don't know, it's kind of irritating.
Like somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is the video game club. Yeah, I'm the coach, but the main idea was Zane's.
But
like, the idea popped up in Zane's mind that he presented me, and I read it as a teacher, was able to help him along. But instead, he goes, this is me, Raditz, I have an idea.
I was hiding.
He asked me in the idea that junior, like we were kind of like throwing around the idea of stuff.
Please take people
on you, but he said he wanted me to put some ideas of like what we need for equipment. Mm-hmm. So I have a Google Doc.
Yeah. I remember he made the list of games.
All the computers.
You made all the equipment.
Like, some like setups that we can have, some monitors, some headsets, some peripheral, people on mice. Like I sent it.
All that stuff, and I had taken both of your documents with the games and stuff, and I put that in my big document, that list of what we should do first organize a group of people, set dates, get equipment, get games, allow admin access, all that. I put that in the list, and you can watch it. First he made the club, got access to people, started playing organized games, Minecraft, whatever. No, I'm not talking what he got the actual game. So like Modern Warfare and Minecraft or whatever.
Yeah.
So he had that going. And then he got verification from Bigstrom to buy computer stuff.
Yeah.
So like the mouse, the monitors, the headphones. I think Bigstrom got computers at the end of the year.
They had really more stuff. Yeah.
And then the verifications for the games or whatever. So he went down this checklist one by one the way I had structured it. And I don't know, I think it just irritated me that he told me that my plans couldn't work. Even it wasn't even like, oh no, we can't do this, but maybe we can do this this year. He's like, no, we can't do that. We probably won't be able to. And then he turns around and he does it all the next year.
I think at this point, you need to be more cautious about who you lend your ideas to, because they might take advantage of you. Even if they're a teacher, people can take will do things that they
goes back to
think that will look good for them. No. Raditz thought we're doing this would look good in Bigstrom's eyes, and Bigstrom would give him more fun.
And the whole school got a big, oh wow, you have an esports team now.
And they all
who implemented that?
And I talked to him at the end of the year, because I had him sign my yearbook.
Yeah, I went in there.
Slight as a joke.
And he gave me a whole spiel.
He went on that spiel with me too, and I was like,
it still doesn't make up for it.
Right,
that's your half-ass apology?
Yeah,
oh, some things weren't just ahead of its time.
And
I think
I kind of understand, but I feel like even if they were ahead of its time, like you can still be open and communicate with us.
It was totally. It's not even okay. The big thing is yeah, it happened. Big deal. The fact that when I introduced the ideas or anything, he blew it off. And then just to turn around and not say anything, like, oh, hey, we might be able to do this year. You should come back and help me. He just straight out does it.
Yeah.
And then there's Robert.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Robert.
Yeah.
He's hungry.
Shh. You've talked a lot.
My heart gives me the fattest munchies ever.
We could think there's a lot
of
food.
What about the glory cereals I have?
They're right there somewhere. Yeah, the bag's right there. We should get into future talk. Because I could go a lot there too.
No, that is my book.
I guess going back to the wanting to leave a legacy, right now for me, it's Destiny 2. Destiny 2 has been a big part
of
me. Anyways, part about leaving a legacy is Destiny 2. Destiny 2 has been a big part of my life for the past couple of years, since 2017, since it came out.
Since you've been racking up the ranks, too.
Yeah, I feel like I've been way more than an above average player. I was, even though it's not like an official like stats site, it's like a third party, they keep ranks.
It's like the YouTube channel.
I was top 500 on that, and I was like,
That's a big deal.
I can do something with this.
Like, the world, too.
Like, even though, sure, the player base is sort of small, but I want to leave a legacy. And that's why I've started the Instagram channel with my plays, because I want to put myself out there. I want to make an impact on this community, because I feel like they've done so much for me, and I want to give back.
And also,
okay.
Go ahead.
It's the raids, you know. I don't have six friends to run a raid with me, so I go towards the community. The community accepts me. They say, yeah, we'll run you through a raid. Trials of Osiris, the competitive PvP. It will come every weekend. You know, you go on a 9 or 7 win streak, you get some cool loot. I didn't have 3 friends who were, like, above average of Crucible with me. So I looked for a group. I found my group. My favorite point in junior year, coming off the whole Brianna thing, whatever. I needed somewhere to be.
You needed a purpose.
Trials every weekend. I found a group for me. Out in the community, they were looking for someone. I was that someone. And they were that 3 people for me. And even, like, that happened. Like, everything that this Destiny 2 community has done for me, I feel like I should give back. So that's why I started the Instagram account. I want to be that Crucible player, or just that Destiny 2 player that someone looks up to. That Datto, that, like, insert big PvP player there. They look up to those people, and they, you know, you think of Destiny 2, you think of these people. And I just want to be that person for someone here in Destiny 2. That's my, like, leave a legacy thing for that. I just have so many envisions for what the community can be and what I can do for them.
And a lot of people are that way, like, they want to leave a legacy, but so many of them go the wrong way about doing it.
Mm-hmm. They so think about
the greed. They go back to
so
greed.
Much for themselves.
Yeah, like, I want to make myself look like the highest and mightiest person out there.
Mm-hmm.
And some people get there.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's why I joined the military. Because I was going to that high, selfish part.
It was pretty fucking selfish.
He was there for a little bit.
Robert.
Literally, I don't take any offense to shit that I was.
Mm-hmm.
The person that I am now is because of the Marine Corps. During Marine Corps boot camp, they bring you down to a pulp, literally making you feel like you are nothing in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if all the people in society that are fucking selfish as shit got down to that point, we would be able to move on. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel like those self-centered fucking selfish pieces of shit, those greedy motherfuckers, are the ones that are holding us down from evolving.
Yeah,
not as a society, as a species.
Like saying,
and
go ahead.
And like, I just feel like the person that I am now, you know, I owe a lot. I owe a serious amount of debt to the Marine Corps. I feel like, you know, since and especially to my recruiter. Me being able to ask my recruiter if I could get fucked up tonight, and he'd be like, no. And me actually listening to him, that tells me that I owe them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because they've done so much for me, now I have to do so much for them.
I have to pay them back.
It's not even that. It doesn't even feel like I have to anymore. It just feels like I want to. Like,
mm-hmm.
I want to give back so much.
You have that ambition.
It's the the ambition to give back.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of people have that in this world, and I feel like
they
need more of that.
They need to see it from a perspective. Going back to the scene, the whole world from space, or even this dude I watch on YouTube, Nightscape, he does a lot of rooftoping. He'll go to tall buildings, and I'll just look down, look at the views, and he says, like, seeing all the cars or all the people from so high up, you realize the insignificance.
You're a speck in a large
of the insignificance
of the individual.
Yourself.
You're literally a speck speck in a small world, in a small solar system that is so rare, mm-hmm. in our galaxy, which is so rare, mm-hmm. in our universe looking weird. We're not even like, we're close.
We're nothing
too significant.
Yeah.
We aren't even so close.
Many of once, us. Once you realize that, you stop looking at yourself. You look at the bigger picture.
Right, and that's what's wrong with today, is everyone thinks that they have, don't get me wrong, some people do have a large impact on the world, and you can have a positive large impact on the world, but so many people think that they have such a large influence on how this world works, or how this world should work, that they don't see that they are literally nothing in a sense of our universe. But it's the world we live in, and we let those people control.
Excuse me. Sorry.
I feel like discipline is definitely a must.
So many people are lacking it.
Exactly. So many people are lazy nowadays. So many people, like, again...
They expect everything.
Expectations. Expectations. And, like, you know, you're expecting, you know, traveling 3-4 months throughout the year. And living that 1% life without doing those 1% things. You know, those like mind blowing innovative things in the world that those 1% did, you know? They're expecting it, but they're not actually doing it. You know? Let's talk about big producers in music, right? You know, some, like, let's say there's an upcoming producer that like, you know, that wants to be that Dr. Dre, that wants to be that big producer that produces major artists' music, right? How they started off is they got in contact with about 300 or 400 other producers that were big and just said, you know, I will work for free and I just want to learn. Like, I just want to learn, and I don't care, like, how
the experience.
They want the experience. They don't care about the fucking money. Like, you know, like, people are wanting to get paid to learn. People are wanting to get paid to get experience. When really, you know, nobody's going to give a fuck about you if you don't have experience. So you work for free to get that experience so that way you can use that experience to get paid. Instead of expecting that payment to get that experience.
It's working for your end result. It seems like a lot of people don't work for their end result anymore. And this, I mean, I get it. People need support in this world. So like Section 8 or welfare or food stamps. There are people who truly need it. But there's also people who are just
taking advantage,
rigging the system so they can live a high and easy life.
Yeah. That are looking for employment while actively looking for a job. And it frustrates me so much how ignorant and how, you know, like, just how, like, I can't find the word for it, how, like, I'm just gonna go with ignorant. I'm just how ignorant people are nowadays. You know, how, you know, like, they're just being, they're not realizing how little you are at the start.
The problem is that there is no fix to stop the people that are taking advantage of the system, to stop them from taking advantage of the system. You either let the people that need it have it, and then let the few that are riding off the back of the knee just ride on the back, or you exclude everybody. I think that's the big problem.
Well, I think
that's because those are the only two options.
The problem, and people always find a loophole.
It's either yes or no.
The problem at this point is just like the amount of individuality that everybody in the world has. Because now everybody in the world is allowed to think for themselves, not think about the me and not the we. And so if you look at places that do things like mandatory service periods, places like Israel, Singapore, you don't see a lot of of crazy things happening in them. Because that idea that everybody is brought down to nothing, everybody is forced to realize the idea that the whole is much more important than the individual. Because if you truly believe in your beliefs, and you truly believe that the way you live is the best way to live, then you want everybody to live that way. Going back to the idea of religion, is that if you're a true believer in what you believe in, then you want everybody to believe. And so if you're forced to realize that you as an individual don't matter that much in the grand scheme of things, then you're kind of screwed if everybody feels themselves an individual. And that's really what the biggest flaw in the American ideology is that so much emphasis is placed on the individual that over time, over a century, we have lost the idea of, we've lost the view that, well, we have to work for everybody. If we want everybody to be able to experience what we have, then we have to ensure that our idea lives. Mm-hmm. And so after World War II, there was no real enemy to the idea, and everybody started becoming more and more moderate on ideology. And so over time, you have people start moving away from our ideology and moving towards thoughts that are going to eventually ruin our society. And so the idea of individualism is the best and worst aspect of the American dream. Because eventually you reach a point that we're at now where everybody values the individual more than they value the whole. And so you're kind of screwed. Even in a society that values individualism, you need to believe in the whole in order for that ideology to survive.
I mean, like, with individualism, like, it should reach a point where, like I said, if you were to hone in on the ideologies of the individual, one should realize that, yes, you are practically nothing in the scheme of things. You're speck on a big round sphere. And surrounded by billions of other spheres.
And nothingness.
So that idea, like, even going back to religion, everyone wants everyone else to be in their religion. If you go down to this ideology of individualism and that you're this tiny speck, it shouldn't matter what others believe in.
Exactly.
It should just matter that they're functioning, they're contributing to a better everything, better really. Yeah, everyone. A better future.
My phone is only at 7%.
And like, I don't know, I feel like that individualism should tie to the scheme of things as a whole. Like, yeah, you do what you want and make yourself happy, and that makes everyone else happy. Because A, you're not fighting what everyone else is saying. B, nobody really cares.
I feel like if people would stop giving a fuck about what others think. And
everybody's just so nosy.
And another thing too, if when leaders start thinking that they work for the people rather than the people work for them, then we would be striving.
I feel like that's kind of a big problem.
And managers and big corporate bosses and even our leader probably thinks that the American people work for them rather than the government works for the people.
That's the thing, is we've had so many people come through office that view essentially America as a business. Like Trump, he's a business owner. He belongs running a business. Sure, he may have some... Trump is Trump. Trump is like 50-50 with me. He does a lot of things that are good and a lot of things that are bad. He's smart with money, but he's horrible with money at the same time. Short term, he understands the goods and bads, and he knows how to do that. But he's always sucked at doing long term. He's never known how to manage money long term. So yes, he may be doing these things that are creating more jobs or boosting our economy in the moment, but he doesn't know what's going to happen down the road because he doesn't focus. It's that idea of running America as a business or an entity that... business, really.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of like, what can he do right now and not what he does that might affect something down the line? Like, he wants to get the stats and the numbers. He wants to see the high job count now. And he doesn't have the consideration of what might happen after he's out of office. You know? He doesn't look at the big picture. So, the aspect of time.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Like, yeah, he's doing all these things, and for him, it's all about the numbers. Always has been. And that's the business aspect of things.
I'm sorry.
That's all for today's episode of Elevated Intellectuals. Make sure to stop by next time and see what we have in store.